Well, welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. And this afternoon, I am really honored to be in the room with world-class scientists who have created this, well, I'm not sure exactly how to put it other than it looks like a little wing nut, but it has all of these components that you can use for just about anything in the world because it's so tiny. Joining us this afternoon, two graduate assistants, Cesar Valles, and Gilbert Carranza, and their mentor, teacher, and friend, Raymond Ruff. We'll call you Tipper?
Yes, I go by Tipper.
Very nice. Welcome, guys, to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Okay, so let's first off explain electromagnetics. So I'm really kind of like pedestrian when it comes to stuff like this. I could tell you kind of like what a genome is, but I can't tell you what an electro anything is. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Well, maybe we can back up a little bit and just talk about what our group is.
Okay.
And so we are a 3D printing group that does 3D printing for electromagnetic and optical things. And what electromagnetics is, it's light is an electromagnetic wave. Radio waves, if they're listening to this right now, it's getting to their radio wirelessly through an electromagnetic wave. And we are using 3D printed structures to manipulate and control those waves in very new and unique ways.
So in my mind, what you're doing is you're extending the reality into something where you're actually wanting to create more than what's really out there.
We are completely changing the paradigm for circuits. If you've ever opened up your computer or radio or a calculator or something and you look at the circuit cards in there, they're flat. And because they're flat, they're also very limited. And we've had in mind for a very long time making those circuits much more three-dimensional. So rather than looking like roads on a map, it would look like a bowl of spaghetti or neurons in your brain. And there's just a lot that that third dimension can do for you and do for circuits.
Okay.
But we had a very long road to get there to realize a 3D circuit.
Forgive my ignorance to this kind of a thing because I look at this kind of like back in the Let's go back 4,000 years where everybody thought the world was flat. And now what you've done is you've created a world where it's round, it's manipulative, it's versatile, it's durable, and you can build upon it. Is that what I'm thinking?
Right. Really, we've done two things. One, we've made it so that circuits can benefit from the third dimension, and I can get into that. But the other thing is we made it possible for 3D printers to produce circuits. And this is what's going to let mom and pop small businesses actually become a manufacturer and produce circuits. Right now you have your Foxconns that are churning out billions of cell phones, and it's very hard for a small business to compete with that. And what I think will happen in the future is rather than having one single Foxconn churning out a billion of something, you'll have thousands of small businesses that can afford to buy a 3D printer, set up a manufacturing shop, and just produce thousands of parts. In the end, we have the same number of products produced, but the mom and pops can make each one different. You could have a different shaped cell phone or whatever you want, pick all of your different specs for your cell phone. The customizability is huge.
So I'm thinking about this in a selfish kind of a way. I build electric guitars, but what I want to do is I want to build the electronics inside the electric guitar to do thousands of things, flangers, phasers, wah, sound effects that you could never really get out of a conventional pickup. I want to be able to put that inside a guitar. And now with this innovation, this new, I mean, you guys are the first. You guys broke on MSN and MSNBC, and we got to keep pushing you into the spotlight because this is the world's first. The world has now changed dramatically because of your invention. And the three of you, I'm really humbled sitting here with the brain trust because what you've done is you've changed the landscape forever and a day.
We think so. We think that third dimension will open up a lot of opportunities. We can not only make circuits smaller and lighter, we can make things in weird shapes and form factors. Like you mentioned, you want to make your guitar. You can stick a little circuit somewhere now that takes up less space than somehow trying to shove in this flat circuit card.
Right. Okay, so Gilbert, Cesar, how did you guys wind up figuring this whole thing out? I mean, this is, to me, you know, I can figure out how to manipulate a waveform after we record this. I can edit this and we'll sound brilliant, maybe. At least you guys will. I'll still sound like an idiot. But how did you get from concept to reality?
We could start off with, you know, you describing your tool.
Sure. So for a long time, I know that our lab has thought of you know, taking circuits into three dimensions, into, you know, going away from that flat board. So my job, what I was tasked to do about 2 years ago, was to actually create this software program to design circuits in three dimensions. Because there are a bunch of different software programs where you can design circuits, mm-hmm. and design them on normal boards, design them however you want, but there was no software to lay out, that's what it's called, to lay them out in three dimensions.
Okay.
So what I had to do was I took this software called Blender, which a lot of animation artists use. Mm-hmm. You can draw digital portraits in there. You can make landscapes. You can make renders. It's mostly for art and games. But I took it, and what I did was I created this tool to actually design circuits in three dimensions. And so that little circuit that we have, we actually designed the shape of it. We designed where all the little wires, the interconnects, go through, and we designed where all of the components are laid out and placed on there. And so that was my job, basically, to make that tool so that way we can actually design circuits, because we can't print anything before we have a design.
Now that I'm kind of like putting it together and I can see this, when you go to the UTEP webpage to read more about this particular 3D invention, you'll see the animation, and the animation to me it's wondrous. It does look a little like a wingnut, but what's inside that 3D is so incredibly powerful. That's what really just blows me away. That tiny little thing could power my hybrid or this radio station. The behemoth that we have as a transmitter can now be about the size of a cell phone and still put out 100,000 watts non-directional because of what you've invented. This is incredible.
By the way, that graphic you're talking about was created by we have a 3D artist in our group, so created by Jesus Gutierrez.
Okay.
So neat picture. It's not a wingnut. We call it the Holy Frijole, and we made it just to look like an arbitrary shape. So if people want to print munitions with circuits built in, they can sort of see that. If people want to print parts in their little remote control vehicles or air vehicles, they can see that. It's meant to be nothing and just look arbitrary.
Okay. So at that point, because it's an arbitrary design, you can make it into any shape that you need in order for it to fit the design of whatever you want to put out there commercially or not. I can see so many different uses in the military for this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. The original shape was actually just a cube, and Gilbert and I spent all summer building the first prototype. It took us a long time.
Summer.
Yeah, and Dr. Ong was out in Florida working with a separate group, and when he came back, he said, well, it still looks really boxy, it still looks very flat, and it doesn't look, you know, very innovative at all. So he came and, you know, he spun it around, he said, make something completely different, something that looks completely arbitrary, and we just thought of the bean, and that's where we came up with the Holy Frijole. We thought it was the most arbitrary shape possible, and mm-hmm. it'll show, you know, the full customizability that the tool actually has.
So you're not even limited to the amount of hardware you can put inside this 3D thing. This whatever you need is how you can actually get this designed, and then it just place it in wherever you got to put it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think maybe even the bigger part is that we're missing. We not only made circuits three-dimensional, we've automated the process. So we can start with a schematic and turn around and produce the part within days. And as time goes on, even less, probably hours in the future. That's really neat.
I know nothing about 3D printing other than what I've seen, but I've also heard that 3D printing has really innovated the medical field, where you can design a hip, a knee, you can replace bone with 3D. I'm just, wow, cutting edge. Let's bring this back to the UTIP end of this whole thing. How did you wind up creating this entire environment so that you can keep pushing the envelope? But obviously, this is just the beginning.
It's been a rough road. We had this vision many years ago, and nobody wanted to fund it. So for the most part, this has been relatively unfunded. But we had to pull together a suite of different breakthroughs. There's probably at least three or four different miracles that had to happen for this to come together. The tool, a completely new CAD tool for designing 3D circuits. Nobody in the world has come up with a way to automate hybrid 3D printing for direct write 3D printing. It's all very manual, a lot of human intervention, so we had to figure out the processes for that. There's another step called slicing that we don't need to get into, but how to slice parts and come up with the paths that the tools have to follow when they make it. So none of this existed, and each one was a huge project in and of itself, and it all had to come together to make this happen, in addition to the vision for the 3D circuit.
Where do you see this entire process now heading? Obviously, you're in a tiny building, so can you function inside this building, or do you need to stretch out even more now?
No, we envision in the future 3D printers the size of a microwave oven producing electrical parts. And everybody in their house could have one, almost like the old, I don't know if the cartoons anymore, Jetsons, but remember they would type in something and out it would come? That's where we want to go. We want people to print their own circuits. We want small businesses to set up manufacturing. And 3D printing eliminates the labor from manufacturing, so now we can compete with the cheap labor in other countries because there really is no labor. And we do have cheap energy in our country, so that allows us to compete manufacturing.
So from science to entrepreneurship is probably the best way to go with this entire thing. And then with you guys having your doctorates, where do you see you guys going in 5 years? Where do you want to go?
It's kind of a funny question because you asked us this over a year ago when we knew that we couldn't stay here in El Paso because the opportunities for educated people coming out of UTEP are not, you know, very large. So most of the graduates, especially in engineering and the sciences, especially with higher degrees, end up leaving, as have most of the people that graduated from our lab formerly. But we do have an interest of actually staying in town and possibly doing a spin-off company doing just this and working here in El Paso and bring all this new industry here.
Wow. So let's project this into the space race. This the current thing that's going on right now is privatization of heading into space. You know, everybody wants to try to figure out how to do this, privatize and go to the moon or go to Mars or go wherever. So with this innovation, now you can actually build intergalactic space travel with just a tiny little 3D piece.
Right. There's at least two ways that this technology is very interesting to space. One, we can make things smaller, lighter, and in arbitrary form factors that just stick places better. That's obviously great for space where, you know, size and weight is a concern. The other thing is, let's say we have a mission to Mars and a radio breaks. What are you going to do, ship another radio? And so this gives you the ability to print new electronics, new functional parts without having to worry about shipping to Mars.
Wow. Until today, I had never really thought about exactly what you guys have come up with. And now it's something that it's expandable, it's affordable, it's universal. The way I'm looking at how you guys are doing this, this will wind up having a universal language without having to translate everything. It just knows how to do it because you programmed it to do that. Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any last words? Anything you want to add?
now's the time.
No,
to
this
say
is the part where the IQ really drops.
Well, you know, no, thank you for inviting us here and giving us the opportunity to explain what we're doing. So I think we're very happy. We're very excited by this. We're proud. I think the EM Lab has by far the best students at UTEP, and our future is very bright. We have a lot more aggressive, ambitious things in the pipeline now that hopefully we'll be here again in a year or so to talk about the next crazy thing that we've produced that will hopefully change the world.
That'll be wonderful, and I can't wait to have you guys come back and explain the next new thing. That'll be wonderful. Mikasa Tsukasa, anytime that you've got a new innovation, come on down. I'd love to hear about it. And so will our listeners.
We'll be here. We'll see you tomorrow.